let's start with some of the tefillah-related ones. And if you have any more you want to add to the list. So let's go to number 4 and 5, to me, is actually the same thing, but they're not really the same thing. So number 4 is, one should bow to the left, right, and center when saying V'kara ze el ze v'amar. So this is something which you find everywhere. Something that you'll notice when people say Kedusha, they will they'll say Nikadesh or Naritzach, and they'll they'll be very careful about that, and it's that practice is not found in any classical Jewish svarim. I sometimes when something is not really based on anything, it's hard to find sources that talk about it in any way, because there are very few times where you'll, here and there you'll find such a thing, but there are very few times in general where you'll find a sefer that says this is not something to do, because there was no source to do it. So therefore, it's sometimes difficult. So I searched it up online, and I don't know where it is. Where did I find this? So yeah, so if you look on the end of the first page, source number 4, so this was a conversation that was happening online, and this statement was given. If you look on the, if you flip the page over, so it says by an individual named Raving Rabbi on February 4th, 2014 at 8:55. So he wrote something over there to try to explain it. And often when I thought of it on my own, I thought this was also the reason that, because what are we saying? That the malachim call out to each other. What are we saying when we say Kedusha in the first place? We say, right, Mekadesh HaShimcha Ba'olam, Kishen Shemati Shem HaSav Shmei Marom. So we are going to say a prayer. We're going to sanctify Hashem's name in this world the same way the angels do it in the upper worlds. And then it says, Kakosuvaya Nevi'echa, as we find from the Nevi'im. Which are the Nevi'im that we find this in? So one is in Yechezkel and one is in Yesheo, right? The two parts of Kedusha, right? One is from the Maisa Merkava at the beginning of Yechezkel, and one is by Yesheo and Navi, where Kadosh, 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 and then Baruch Kivod, not found next to each other. But these are two different things that the Nevi'im, when they saw these amazing visions of the highest levels of Malachim, so these were the things that they found. And it's described even better in the Birkos Kriyashma, where we say, what do we, right, Baha'ofanim, that's one type of malachim, Bechayos HaKodesh, a second type of malachim, right, Misnasim, can somebody say it for me? Because whenever I try to like interrupt with explanation, I always mess it up. Somebody, Baha'ofanim, Bechayos HaKodesh, Bera'ash Gadol, Misnasim, Liumas, Serafim. So they raise, these are on lower levels than Serafim. Serafim are higher malachim. So they raise them up, Liumas, Serafim, Liumasam, Mishabachim, Vomrim. And then to those that are opposite them, they praise Hashem and they say Baruch Kivod Hashem Imukomo, right? So that's what we're doing. All these malachim, the Ofanim, Chayas Hakodesh, the Serafim, they're all facing each other and they say Baruch Kivod, right? So that's, I think, where this idea is saying the Kara Ze El Ze V'Amar. I don't know where the front bow Amar is, but they're saying that like they're looking to one malach, they're looking to the other side of malachim, and then they all say together, right? So if that was really the case, I think you would then end up saying V'kara ze el ze, and then they would all stand together. So like what we do, which is correct, is when we say Kadosh, 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 we're raising ourselves up to demonstrate that this is something that's an otherworldly prayer, and Baruch Kivod and Yimloch, all those things, we're supposed to raise ourselves up a little bit to say those prayers. But the bowing doesn't really have any source. And I've asked a number of poskim about this, and they always give the same. People really do that? I'm like, come on, you know people do that. Like, that's their way of avoiding the question, just like so. That just because they're too nice to say, no, the people just do it and it's wrong and they should stop. But like they just say, oh, I've never seen that before. Yes, you have. you've seen it. Come on, everyone does it. I davened in a Hasidish Shtiblach yesterday. They did it. I'm saying you davened in Morasha. They do it. They're like, you do it anywhere you go, they do it. So I just, the only tshuva that I noticed offhand, there could be many more that I'm just not aware of, was a Shalos HaTshuvos Oz Nidburu, which is Rav Binyamin Zilber. He was a big tzaddik. He lived in Bnei Brak. He was nifter probably about 5-7 years ago. So he has Shalos HaTshuvos Oz Nidburu. It started off with a number of articles that he was writing in certain different Torah journals and people in Hilchos Shabbos, and then people wrote back. And then when he had enough to publish a sefer, so that's why he called it Oz Nidburu from the pasuk of people speaking in Yiras Hashem one to the other, and then he ended up publishing many, many tshuvas. So this is in the 13th chelik. So he writes like this: Masha ponim harosh kisha omen bekarazel zevi amar. That which people turn their faces to say it, im l'smol tchila lo yadu'ali. So the guy asked him, apparently, should you turn to the left first or should you turn to the right first? I assume his cheshbon was, is that on one end, I see everybody turn to the left first and then turn to the right and then turn front, but there's a concept that you're always supposed to turn to the right first, so maybe which one should we observe? So he says, lo yadu'ali, I don't know, kevan shebechlali nanu nogim bazel istovevim arosh. I don't have this custom to begin with, so I couldn't tell you what the correct way to do this is, because I don't know anything about it. Even those people who do it, they certainly don't have to care which side they start from. So now he goes off on a tangent. That's basically the part that I wanted to show you was the first two lines. But he has a nice point that he makes for the rest of it. The rest of the point is that Me'ikar Adin, Kedusha doesn't start until Kadosh Kadosh. Really, the opening part, Nikadesh or Naritzach, is really supposed to be said only by the Shliach Tzibur. It's really, and if you look in the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, they all say this, that the more correct practice is for only the Shliach Tzibur to say that part, and for everyone else to chime in for Kadosh Kadosh. All right, Lamaisa, there's nothing wrong with saying it. There's nothing against it. So most of the Minhag Olam is generally to say it. But he says, you can't really have too many halachas associated with how you should say something that you don't really need to say in the first place. So he says, "Befrat she'etzem amiraso eino me'ikar kedusha." Saying it is not really part of kedusha. V'yeshe eino omer moso. And there's some who don't say it at all. Kevan shezeh shayach lebalat tefila. It's really only the shliach tzibur's job to say it. So obviously, what he's saying here is not really much of a point, because you could just ask the okay. So what should the shliach tzibur do? Meaning, fine. So if I'm a member of the congregation, so I don't have to say this part, but the Shliach Tzibur still needs to say it. So you could really, but I think he's just trying to point out that this is just a made-up thing, and therefore he wants to just talk about some actual halachos related to the Kiddusha. Ovamakom ledakdek dikduke anius be'ezet tzad lifnos harosh, says, to be medakdek in this, you know, not important thing, which side to turn your head to, yesh liten kol atzuma slave l'chavein l'masha omrim, says, I'll tell you something that you should be worried about, which is to have kavana. Beinim kol echad omer osherak ashliach tzibur omrim. Whether you, the congregation, are saying the opening line, or whether it's only the shliach tzibur, v'kulam shom, right, and everyone's just listening in. Ha'kavana hu l'orer ayirav ha'kavana l'chavein amir sakadusha shanu medanim l'malachi ashares. So he says that the goal should be exactly what the opening line contains. Well, what are we saying in the opening line of Kedusha? We are now going to do something that the angels in much, much higher worlds than we're living in, that's what they do. So we should have kavana for that, that this is something very special. And we should try to like wake ourselves up to this. Uvani Oseinu Machmas Aherga Memarim says, because of our, our lowliness, we're so used to saying it, we do it quickly. Says we do it so fast, it's hard to even just have the simplest level of kavana, which is for the meaning of the words. So then he goes further, and he says, we should be trying to have kavana for realizing that we're trying to get closer to Hashem. And to think about what the Mishnah Berurah says, v'zeh lashono, v'tzarech l'chavin b'yoseh b'kiddusha l'kadish es Hashem Yisbarach, v'zchus zeh yishra alev Hashem Yisbarach kiddusha milamala. Right, we should have kavana to sanctify the name of Hashem, and in that merit, Hashem will shine down His kiddusha on us. V'yichavin l'kayim ha'posik, v'nikdashki b'soch v'nei Yisrael. And have in mind the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem. Right? Somebody says, well, how do you do Kiddush Hashem? Oh, I stand in front of a bunch of non-Jews and I do a mitzvah, or I stand in front of a bunch of non-Jews and I do something nice. That's also true, as we'll see. It's not so pashut, but it's also true. But nevertheless, the real mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, you can be mekayim by those things that we call Dvarim Shebekedusha. Dvarim Shebekedusha means that when we say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, we're mekayim the Derabbanan way of doing V'nikdashti B'sof Bnei Yisrael, that I'm sanctifying Hashem's name amongst a minion of Jews. And this is, but what we do is, unfortunately, sometimes we turn things on its head and we make the unimportant part, which is which way to go like this, that becomes the main thing, and the actual kavana for the parts that we're supposed to say, that sort of falls by the wayside. Okay. But this is a nice lead-in to number five, which is something you'll find also very commonplace in many shuls, which is that after people take their three steps back, they take their three steps forward, and then they hop like they're saying Kedusha. Right? So this is also something that's very, very common. And so let's take a look in source number five, in the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kuf Chav Gimel, Sif Aleph, which and Sif Beis, which are the instructions for how one is supposed to finish up Shmoneh Esrei. Korea, one should bow forward, uposea gimel psios lachorav, and take three steps back, bekriya achas, while they're still bowing, that single bowing. V'achar sheposel gimel psios ba'odo korea, while you're still down there, kodem sheyizko, before you straighten up, kishayomer oseh shalom imromav, hovech panav letzad smol. Kishayomer hu yaseh shalom aleinu, hovech panav letzad yamin, v'achar kach yishtachav elefonav, ke'ever aniftar miravu. Right, and then you should finish. You say, "Oseh shalom imramav, hu yaseh shalom." All right, and then, 1 second. Right, I'm sorry. Hu yaseh shalom aleinu, and then you bow forward, and you finish. And you finished. Right, meaning you say, and then you finish up the words. Baal kol Yisrael, right, etc. V'noagu lomar achar kach, and then the Ramah adds in, there is a minik to say, yiratzon sheibana beis hamikdash, right? There's a yiratzon that Hashem should rebuild the beis hamikdash, ki atfilu b'makam avoda, v'lachim mevak shemal hamikdash shenucha lasos avoda mamash, right? So since we're davening in the place of doing the avoda in the beis hamikdash, we want to daven that Hashem should bring back the real avoda. Okay, this I think we all knew, right? Then, b'makam shekalu gimel psios, then when you finished your three steps back, yamu, you should stay there. And if you're davening with a minion, you should wait there until the shliach tzibur gets to kedusha. At the very least, you should wait until the shliach tzibur starts chazaras hashatz. That is the sheet of the mechaber. You should check out, if you get bored one day, you can check out the Aruch HaShulchan over here. He goes crazy about this, that like people, they just take the three steps back and they take the three steps forward, and it's chutzpedik. And he really, for some reason, this bothered him a lot. So he's, if you look in the Ramah here, v'hashatz yamod kidei hiluch dalan amos. So how long should the shliach tzibur wait? He can't wait for himself. So he has to wait the amount of time it takes to walk 4 amos, very short time. Kodem sheyachzum komu l'spal b'kol ram. You take his three steps back, finish off, and then wait a couple of seconds, and then he can start the chazar sashatz. V'chein yachid ha'mespal, or if you're davening by yourself, yamud b'makam shekol psiosav, kishur zeh. You should wait with your feet together for your three steps back, a few seconds, shira hiluch dalad amos, kodem sheyachzum komu, before you go back. I think we mentioned this in the past. There's no real inyan to alpi halacha. There's no real inyan to take three steps back before you start Shmoneh Esrei, and there's no real inyan to take three steps forward after you finish Shmoneh Esrei. It's just a question of going back to where you were, right? So the real inyan is you're supposed to take three steps forward when you start Shmoneh Esrei, you're supposed to take three steps back when you end Shmoneh Esrei. But obviously, if you're in a normal place where you can't just have the whole room to yourself, you have to then match it with three steps in the other direction in order that you're back where you started from. So it's just practically. I think Al-Pi Kabbalah, I'm not so sure, but I think Al-Pi Kabbalah there are inyanim of 6 steps total that you should dafka take 3 steps for. But Al-Pi Halacha, really, it's just to get back to where you started. Yeah?
Can you just stay in your spot? So
the question is, when should you then take your 3 steps forward? So at the very least, you should wait for Chazar Sashatz. Two steps, you're saying?
I don't know.
Okay, maybe, I don't know. It's not mentioned in the poskim, But as far as I know. But could be al pi kabbalah, there is such an inyan, I don't know. So bottom line is, the reason I'm bringing in this introduction is there's no mention, first of all, of going up onto your toes or hopping or anything like that when you finish the Shmon Esrei. Really, once you're done with your three steps back, you're done. You finished your obligation for Shmon Esrei, and now you're just returning to your place. And then, again, Piskei Tshuvos is a nice sefer that collects tons and tons of Shas and Tshuvos. So just in the summaries on the top of the page, he just writes, U'mashi yeshnam rabim anogim la'achar shechazru gimel p'sil sim kol m'shem medalgun m'kafzim k'tzas b'raglein k'kedusha. That custom that people have, that they will, they go up and they skip or they jump a little bit, like when they're saying Kedusha, lo matzino lezem makor, lo b'ksuvim v'lo b'mesoris. So he says there's no source for this whatsoever in any written or oral literature of, you know, Jewish halacha. And the reason I thought it was appropriate to bring in the Piskei Tshuvos is he will cite anything that talks about anything. Like, any source that exists. I also looked in the Sefer. There's another Sefer that's very similar called Minhag Yisrael Torah, where he'll take any minhag and try to be matzdik, any minhag in the world. It could be the best, the worst, the medium, it doesn't matter. Any minhag that exists, he will try to find a good Torah source for it and tell you that it's a good minhag. And he said also there's no makor whatsoever for this. So if these books are saying that it's not a real minhag, then you know it's not a real minhag. So where does it come from? So this was, I heard this from a friend of mine once, and I also put it together a little bit on my own. Let's put it this way. I'll tell you where I think the whole thing comes from, and I think it's really a package with the other thing we mentioned. I think it's like this. Meaning, we mentioned where does kedusha really start from? Really starts from kadosh kadosh. So technically, if you're finishing up Shmon Esrei and you want to answer kedusha with the tzibur, you're still allowed to take your three steps back and say Oseh Shalom Yom Ramav during when the tzibur is saying nekadesh, and even when the shlich tzibur is saying nekadesh, because kedusha hasn't really started yet. He's like, when the Shlich Tzibur says Nekadesh, he's introducing the Kedusha. He's telling you, let's start the Kedusha. And then when he says, that's when you're actually going to start Kedusha. So as long as you can make it back to your place, by the time you're going to be saying Kadosh Kadosh, you're allowed to continue saying, you know, you take your three steps back, saying Oseh Shalom, Yiratzon, etc. Obviously, if you're not going to be able to, if you're just going to have to rush back, you could still say Kedusha with your feet together in the three steps back position, that's allowed. But technically, if you can make it. So I found myself sometimes finishing up as people are already saying the Kaddish. And I noticed, I'm like, wait a second, what's happening here? I'm taking my three steps back. There's some people in the shul already saying the Kaddish. And I'm saying, Oseh Shalom Yirmav Yaseh Shalom Alein Avakol Yisrael Ramein. Then I'm taking my three steps forward and I'm saying, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And I'm like, that's exactly what I'm seeing around me that people are doing, meaning they're saying the Karaze El Zev Yamar, Kadosh, 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 like that. Meaning, I think that's where the bowing during the Karaze El Zev Yamar came from, that there were people finishing up the Shmona Esrei, and other people saw them doing it and are trying to figure out, why are they doing that? Why are they bowing when I'm in the middle of saying Kedusha? So it's because they were finishing up Shmona Esrei while the other person was saying Kedusha. And then they would take their three steps forward and say Kadosh, 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 like that. And the whole Tzibur would take their three steps forward, like the Shulchan Aruch says to do, at the beginning of Kedusha. And they would they say immediately upon taking their three steps forward? Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And they would come up onto their toes. And therefore, I think people just got used to taking their three steps forward and coming up onto their toes, even though there's no inyan whatsoever, because of the placement of when you're davening with Tzibur, when you're davening with Tzibur, you take your three steps forward right into Kedusha, and therefore they just got used to it when they were davening B'Yechidus also, they would just take their three steps forward and come up onto their toes three times or one time or whatever. I think that's where that's the best guess that I can come up with as to why this became such a popular thing to do. Because people used to follow the halacha of actually waiting for the Shlich Tzibur to get to Kedusha before they took their three steps forward. And then once they stopped doing that, so they just took their three steps back, they take their three steps forward, and they come up onto their toes. Ki'ilu, they're in the middle of Kedusha when they really should be waiting for the Shlich Tzibur. Or if they're davening b'yichidus, then they're just doing it because that's what they, when they're in shul, they do it. So that's what they do at home also. I don't know, it's a guess. It's not, again, I'm just trying to figure out why this became something so popular to do. And obviously the real reason it became popular after that is when someone, anytime someone sees someone do something shticky, they do it. That's a klal gadol in Judaism. If somebody sees something else do something that looks like good shtick, you know, or it looks like what you might call in Hebrew a devar sgulati, right? Something that's that involves things that catch on are things that involve zero effort, and you know, generally speaking, the Yitzhahara doesn't fight people on these things. So things that, you know, like if you say this paragraph on this and this day, you're going to get all kinds of wealth and, you know, great stuff. So that catches on very, very quickly. Why? Because it's something easy to do, doesn't involve actually getting closer to Hashem, and you know, why not? Who doesn't want great stuff? So things of that nature that involve, and the less understandable it is, the better. Those things generally catch on. So when I see someone practicing something that makes no sense, generally speaking, my mind tells me that that's something very important and very worthwhile, and I believe it's the Yetzer Hara, and that like tries to get us into all these things that don't involve actual halacha or hashkafa or anything, you know, related to. So I think when people see other people doing certain kinds of bowings, certain kinds of shticks, saying certain kinds of psukim, that are just, it's an effortless thing to do, but it appears extra frum, so they'll get into it. And I think that's what happened over here also, is that we get into these types of practices without having any understanding of where they're coming from. And so many people will suggest, and perhaps rightfully so, so who cares? What's the big deal? You know, what's the big deal? So we don't. So we bow when we're not supposed to bow. We stand up. We go up when we're not supposed to go up. We sit. You know, what's the difference? So there's different approaches you can have. First of all, the Tosfos, the Gemara says that a person who's Mosef Ishtachavayos is doing the wrong thing. A person who adds bowings to the, so definitely applies to the Shmon Esrei. A person who adds bowings to the Shmon Esrei is doing something that's unacceptable. And Tosfos asks, why is that such a big deal? Who cares? Let him be Mosef Ishtachavayos. It doesn't matter. So it's not like you're doing something wrong by bowing. So there's a few different approaches. One approach is that it's an issue of yuhara, it's an issue of halachic arrogance, like who told you to bow when the rest of Klal Yisrael doesn't, and all of a sudden you think you're better than everybody else, you bow more times, so that's not acceptable. Another possibility is simply that when everything becomes optional, right, to paraphrase syndrome, right, when everyone is super, no one is, right? So when everything is optional, then nothing's mandatory, right? That's the flip side. Why do I bow? Because I feel like it. So what if I don't feel like bowing? Okay, so I don't feel like bowing, so I don't have to bow, right? And it just blurs the lines between what's real and what's not real. You know, what's real is the things that, you know, Chazal teach us, are things that it says in the Torah, things that, those are real things, real meaningful ideas, minhagim that are quoted in Shulchan Aruch, minhagim that have a firm basis in halacha, and those are real things. And then when I start doing my additional shtiklach that add to these minhagim, so then I'm adding fake things to the real things, and everything becomes fake, because what's the difference between something which is actually meaningful and something I just decided to do? You know, it's very, whatever, how much of that you allow for it could be dependent on what your general mode of Avodas Hashem is, not for me to determine for other people, but there are definitely schools of thought which say that, like, when a minhag that a Jew performs is something extremely meaningful, it has to have inherent value. We don't do ceremonies, right? Rav Soloveitchik apparently was very into discussing, this is along the lines of the Shita of the Vilna Gaon and different things, but Jewish people don't do ceremonies. We don't have customs. You know, we don't have customs. Why do we do this? It's a custom, right? Like, take for example, you know, Lahavdil, you have Santa Claus, right? We have Santa Claus. We have a custom in Christianity, or even just secular Americanism, that there is this person who comes around and delivers gifts, and we lie to the children and tell them that there's somebody coming in and he's giving gifts to the Jewish to the non-Jewish children on Christmas. So that's something that they do. What's why? It's a custom that we talk about Santa Claus. Where does it come from? Anybody know any of the origins of Santa Claus? Santa Claus. Oh, that goes without saying. But even, it's way before Saint Nicholas. The modern day Santa Claus is mostly based on Avodah Zarah. The flying part is taken from the Norse god Odin or Woden, and it's if you do a little bit of research, the most minimal amount of internet research, it's mostly based on various pagan beliefs of certain gods that they had. And they were all suffused. You know, you add the red suit from Coca-Cola, and you add the Saint Nicholas. You know, they all get suffused into this one rosy-cheeked, guy. So, Lemaise, in the end of the day, that's where not caring what your where your customs come from gets you. You know, it's not a meaningful thing. So we Jews, we felt bad that we didn't have Santa Claus. So we invented our own Santa Claus. Who's the Jewish Santa Claus? That was invented by Jews. It's true. I think Lauren Michaels is Jewish. So the guy who invented Saturday Night Live. I think he's Jewish, and certainly a lot of the original actors, not Eddie Murphy, but maybe some of that. She mentioned Hanukkah Harry. He was the Saturday Night Live. Santa Claus. He had to fill in for Santa Claus 1 year. Does that happen before you were born, probably?
Yeah.
Okay. That's when I was in like elementary school. So, who's the real Jewish Santa Claus? Eliyahu Navi's the real Jewish Santa Claus. He comes on Pesach and he drinks the wine and we lie to the children and we tell them, it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable to have a Jewish Santa Claus. You know, it happens to be there is very strong sources to suggest that Eliyahu Navi comes to Bris Mila. It's worthwhile to research why that is, that he comes to Bris Mila. I don't think there are any sources in Chazal that I'm aware of that say that he comes to this Pesach Seder. But in addition, the concept of the kos shel Eliyahu is nothing to do with Eliyahu Hanavi drinking from the kos. Saying it's the kos shel Eliyahu, if you read most Pirushim on the Haggadah, is based on one of two possibilities. Either that Bizman sheyavo Eliyahu, that Eliyahu Hanavi will come and we will we'll drink the fifth kos, because the fifth kos is a zecher to the Lashon Vehevesi, and the Hevesi was not Niskayim by the people that Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to, because they all died in the Midbar. And therefore, when will we be Mekayim, the Din Vehevesi, or the Lashon Vehevesi, which is the Achiyov Eliyahu, in the times of Mashiach, when Eliyahu Navi comes, then we'll be Mekayim Vehevesi Yelar. It's that will bring everybody into Eretz Yisrael, and then we'll drink the fifth coast, and that's why it's called the Kosh Eliyahu. Or another possibility is that because it's a Suffolk, in the Bavli and Yerushalmi, you're supposed to have five kosos or four kosos. So since it's a suffix, so we say, as of now, we pour the fifth kos, and we don't drink it. But Kishiyavu Eliyahu, in times of Mashiach, when we're able to, in the times of Eliyahu Navi, we'll know whether or not we're supposed to drink the fifth kos or not, so we pour it out of a suffix. But it's not because Eliyahu Navi comes and drinks from the kos. That's not...
exciting.
What? Okay, so I could tell you a lot. First of all, there's a lot more exciting things that you can make up if you're looking to lie to your children. So, why do we open the door? We open the door because it's Leil Shimurim. It's Shvo Chamascha El Agoyim, Ashe Lo Yida Ucha. So that's what we're saying. We're saying we're not afraid on the Seder night. Just like the Jews in Mitzrayim, we're not afraid to bring in the Obdei Avodah Zarah's sheep into their house. So we're also not afraid on the Leil Shimurim. We say Shvo Chamascha El Agoyim with the door open. Not to let in Eliyahu. If Eliyahu Navi is so amazing that he can come to every single Pesach Seder and drink an indiscernible amount of wine from every single person's kos, he can probably get through your security system also, You don't have to open the door for him. So, Mamonoshech, the whole thing is, again, it's a question of what we're trying to do here. Are we trying to do things that are actually meaningful and inherently valuable, that have inherent spiritual meaning when we serve Hashem? Or are we just trying to make, good shtick? Good shtick. So, I once heard, he said it in public, so I think Rabbi Przanski from Teaneck, he once had a good line. He said, there has to be a better reason for Judaism. There has to be a better explanation of Judaism than our voodoo is better than your voodoo. It can't all just be made up voodoo, and that, but our voodoo is better than your voodoo. Like, in the end of the day, why is Judaism more true than Christianity? Because our voodoo is, the nonsensical things that we do are better than the nonsensical things that you do. No, there is inherent meaning in everything that a Jew does, or there should be. And therefore, just to add on in things that have no meaning and no source, you say, what's the big deal? The big deal is that you're missing the point of what Avodas Hashem is all about. That's not what Avodas Hashem is. Avodas Hashem is about serving Hashem in truly meaningful and inherently valuable ways. Not about saying things and doing things that don't have any value, that don't have any tradition, that don't have any, you know, but like, I saw some guy do it one time, and then, so therefore I do it. Again, not everybody will agree to what I just said, so I don't want to claim to have the monopoly on that, but that's my campaign speech. So if you vote for me, I'll I appreciate it. Okay, so that along the lines of Inyanei Tefillah 22, right? So I was looking for the way that was 22. One should take his steps into Shmoneh Esrei during Hashem's Vasai Tiftach. So this is something that a lot of children believe. Some even claim that their teachers taught it to them that way. I'm not convinced that their teachers taught it to them that way, because I hear how they listen when I teach. So I'm assuming that they weren't listening then either. Yeah. Well, if you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, you should just stop and listen. You should just listen to the. Don't interrupt your Shmoneh Esrei by. Psukei Dezimra, you can answer Kadosh Kadosh. So best to get to the end of a paragraph if you can pull it off. If you can't pull that off, best to get to the end of a pasuk, right? But technically, if you're in the middle, so you can answer just Kadosh Kadosh and Baruch Kivod and listen to the rest. Not the parts that the Shliach Tzibur is supposed to say. Just the part, just Kadosh Kadosh and Baruch Kivod, and that's it. And then you listen to the rest until the Kiddusha is over, and then...
That's any time during
Davening? Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Even in Shmoneh Esrei, if you're finished with your Shmoneh Esrei, but you couldn't make it all the way till the end, so you'd say Yula Ratzon Imrei Fi, and then you should say the same thing. You can answer Kadosh Kadosh and Baruch Kivod. Not Yimloch, but if you took your 3 steps back already, you can answer everything. Or if you're waiting, let's say you're standing in front of somebody who hasn't taken this, if you're just waiting, then you can also answer everything, I think.
But just during one answer, you should just be
right, just be silent and then listen. Right. Okay, so what number was that? 22? So 22. So just, this is something which I'm sure you all know, but it's good to remember. 22, if you just take a look in the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Dalet Amid Beis, it says Amri Kevin the Takinu LaRabbanan Hashkivenu Ki Geula Arich Dedamya. Right. So this is in the middle of a discussion of how can we have an interruption between Baruch Atah Hashem Gaal Yisrael and Shmoneh Esrei at Maariv. Why at Maariv we say Hashkivenu afterwards? So they say because the Chachamim instituted Hashkivenu, it's called Geula Arich Dedamya. It's called a lengthening of the Geula, and therefore it's not an interruption between Geula and Tefillah. Right? That's what we call in Halacha Smichas Geula LeTefillah. You're supposed to go straight from the discussion of the Geula Smitzrayim into the Shmoneh Esrei. And then they said, and if you don't say that, it's not an interruption. So he says, so then that would be a problem. Why? Dilo Temahachi Shachris Hechi Matzi Samach, because in the morning we'd have the same problem. At the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, you're supposed to say Hashem Sosai Tiftach, and at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, you're supposed to say Yilu Ratzon Imrei Fi. So that's an interruption between Baruch Atah Hashem Gaal Yisrael and the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. So Elo Hasam Kevin the Takino Rabban Lameimar Hashem Sosai Tiftach Kitfila Arich Dedamya Hachenami Kevin Takino Rabban Lameimar Ashkivenu Kigula Arich Dedamya. So since the Chachamim instituted Hashem Sosai Tiftach, that is a lengthening of the Shmoneh Esrei. That's actually the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, and therefore, you should be ready to daven Shmoneh Esrei and fully, you know, set in your spot before you say Hashem Sosai Tiftach, because that is actually the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. Whether or not the Shliach Tzibur is supposed to say it out loud, you can, that's debated in the poskim, but nevertheless, you're definitely supposed to be ready to daven Shmoneh Esrei and say Hashem Sosai Tiftach with your feet together, ready to go, not to be in the middle of taking your steps. Although it's very nice that it works out. There's six words in the pasuk, and there's 6 steps. So Hashem Sosai Tiftach, Fi Yagit Yilasecha. It's very nice, but it's not that's not the way to go. You should be ready to daven Shmoneh Esrei immediately before saying Hashem Sosai Tiftach. And this sort of leads into the last one. I think this is the last tefillah one on the list, which is source number 20. Source number 20, the Shliach Tzibur should say Go'al Yisrael quietly. So let's take a look at the... source number 20. So this is a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Should you answer Amen after Go'al Yisrael? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Eino Omer Amen, Achar Go'al Yisrael, Mishum Dehave Hefsik. You should not answer Amen because it is an interruption. So that's the Shulchan Aruch Shita is that you don't answer Amen after Baruch Atah Hashem Go'al Yisrael because the Hefsik between the Geula and the Tefillah, and this is a very important part of davening, Smichas Geula L'Tefillah. So the Shulchan Aruch Shita is don't answer Amen. V'yeshom, according to the Ramah, don't an Amen. There's some who say you do answer Amen. V'chein no'agin la'anos achar shlech tzibur. And that is the minhag Ashkenaz, to answer Amen after the shlech tzibur. Avalim mispal levad, ain't on an Amen. But if you're davening by yourself, don't answer Amen. What's he talking about? If you're davening by yourself, don't answer Amen. Amen to whom? So what's the answer? The real halacha is, now when I say the real halacha, I mean halacha v'lo l'maisa, for Ashkenazim. Halacha v'lo l'maisa, you're really supposed to answer Amen after your own bracha in certain places. Right? Ashkenazim, generally speaking, only answer Boni Yerushalayim Amen, that's it. And benching is the only place you answer Amen after your own bracha. But if you look in the Gemara and the Rishonim, so there's a big discussion. The Gemara says that you're supposed to answer Amen after your own bracha and Boni Yerushalayim, but nowhere else. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. But the Rishonim all chime in and say, it doesn't mean nowhere else. It means brachos that are similar to Boni Yerushalayim, which is the ending of a series of brachos. The ending of a series of brachos, you should answer Amen after your own bracha. Where would that play out? So let's say you finish Psukei Dezimra, right? So you would say, Melech Kel Cheol Amim, Amen, to your own bracha, right? You finish, then perhaps even you finish Birkos Kriyashma. You say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Ga Yisrael, Amen. Then you finish benching, Bani Yerushalayim, Amen. Finish Shmona Esrei. Some suggest that maybe that's where the Amen comes from. Oseh Shalom Ram, Yaseh Shalom Aleinu, Malkol Yisrael, Vimru, Amen. Why say Vimru Amen? Who are you saying Amen to? The answer is your own brachos. You finished a series of brachos, you're saying Amen. You answer Amen after perhaps your brachos of Hallel, right? You would say Amen after those brachos. So this is, and I'm missing a couple, but those are basically the idea, that anytime you finish a series of brachos, right, and excuse me, Ma'ariv also, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad, Amen. Right? After you finish a series of brachos, you would answer Amen after your own bracha. That is the way the Sephardi Rishonim hold, that's the way the Ashkenazi Rishonim hold. And, however, Tosfos and the Mordechai, who's one of the very late Balei Tosfos, Tosfos and the Mordechai both say that the Minog, Ashkenaz, is not to do that. They first quote that the correct halacha is to answer Amen after any series of brachos, and they say, but the Minog Ashkenaz is not to do that. They don't quote any reason whatsoever. They don't quote any reason. So, why the Minog Ashkenaz is not to do it, it's a good discussion, but in the end of the day, it's not. And that's the way the Ramah quotes in Shulchan Aruch. So interestingly, over here, the Ramah is saying, yeah, I know I already said that the Minog Ashkenaz, where he says, Kidul Kaman Reish Tezvav, I know I already said that the Minog Ashkenaz is not to do it, but you should realize the real halacha is that you should. But Ashkenazim don't do it, and I'm not suggesting that Bnei Ashkenaz should do it. If you look in the... If you look in the Bir Agra, he says perhaps it's because the concept of minog oker halacha that sometimes when you're not violating a halacha, you're not doing an avera, so then sometimes we'll say minog oker halacha that if the whole segment of Klal Yisrael is doing something that's not exactly the correct halacha, but it's not in violation of any kind of avera, so then we'll allow them to continue not doing the exact right thing. You don't have to, you know, stand up and start, you know, screaming about this horrible thing that's going on. So that seems to be the suggestion. Vilna Gaon basically says that if you read the Tosfos, if you read the Mordechai, if you read the Rush, all the big Ashkenazi poskim, they all say you should answer Amen after your own bracha in these cases. But Lameisa, they say that's not the minig. The minig is not too, and that's the way we leave it. So.
I'll finish up in 2 seconds. But maybe not 2 seconds, but
a couple of seconds. So the idea of not answering amen after your own bracha, not answering amen after your own bracha when it comes to Goal Yisrael, the Ramah is just saying, even the Yechidus, you wouldn't answer amen after your own bracha. Now, it happens to be that you wouldn't answer amen after your own bracha anyway if you're an Ashkenazi, but he's just pointing out that that would be the correct halacha if you were to answer amen after your own brachos, that you should. So the Shulchan Aruch, who holds that you do answer amen after your own bracha in many of these situations, there's one more shita of the Rambam where he says it has to be at least 2 brachos in a row. Can't be like one bracha's on one side of the fence and one bracha's on the other side of the fence. So the Mechaber has to deal with that issue of the Rambam. But nevertheless, the vast majority of Rishonim would say you would even answer Amen after your own bracha when you would say Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael, and then you would say Amen. But so Shulchan Aruch says no. That even though normally you would answer Amen to your own bracha, and certainly you would answer Amen to the bracha of the Shliach Tzibur, here you don't answer Amen at all. And the Ramah says no, you answer Amen after the bracha of the Shliach Tzibur. You just don't answer Amen after your own bracha. That's the way he leaves it. So right now, the two poskim of the Shulchan Aruch both hold, you're either not supposed to answer Amen at all after Goal Yisrael, or you're supposed to answer Amen after the Shliach Tzibur's bracha of Goal Yisrael. What does no one say? No one says to pull shtick to try to avoid the Amen. Either don't say it or say it. No one suggests pulling shtick to avoid it. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah is quoting from the Magen Avram. So he quotes, I gave you some underlines over here. Ela etza acheres yesh, v'nachal ma'asosa. He says, I'll give you good advice, and it's a good thing, and it's the correct thing to do. Kedei latzeis l'kulei alma, meaning here you're being extra frum. You're being yotze, if you're an Ashkenazi, and you want to be yotze, even according to the shita of the Shulchan Aruch, so then, this is good advice. Finish your bracha at the exact same time as the Shliach Tzibur, and then you won't have to answer Amen. Meaning, we have a general advice that we try to give someone when they want to avoid answering Amen, because they're in a situation of suffix. What you do is finish your bracha at the same time as someone else's bracha, so then you wouldn't answer Amen, because then it looks like you're answering Amen to your own bracha. Therefore, we say you're pater from answering Amen under those circumstances. So when the Shliach Tzibur gets up to Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, you also say Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, and then you're pater from saying Amen. That's a highly questionable thing. This advice was given by the Magen Avram, and many of the commentaries on the Magen Avram question whether or not this works. The main reason it might not work is because in this circumstance, you're at the end of a series of brachos. The Magen Avram himself says elsewhere, let's say you finish Yishtabach. Let's say you're an Ashkenazi, you finish Yishtabach at the exact same time as the Shliach Tzibur. The Magen Avram himself, Paskins, you would answer Amen there. In other words, if you and the Shliach Tzibur at the exact same moment say, Melech Keel Cheol Amen, you would then say Amen. Because since there is the majority opinion in Rishonim that says you're supposed to answer Amen after your own bracha there anyway, and you're also finishing with the Shliach Tzibur, so you would say Amen there. So you're not really helping yourself by finishing off the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, together with the Shliach Tzibur. Okay, that's the kasha that some of the Mefarshim ask, and therefore they come up with this second piece of advice. They say, oh, this is from the Levushei Sarad. Oh, sheyaschil shmona esrei na'at kodem ha-shliach tzibur, dahainu ha-posek Hashem sosai tiftach. You should be in the beginning of saying Hashem sosai tiftach while the Shliach Tzibur says Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. Debezeh ha-ma'at vadei leka kapei devein nikar klalat demasa. Because that's not called starting too early, because it's like a half a second too early, but it's enough to get you out of answering Amen. You hear the idea? So either way, listen, background information aside, the bottom line is there's a number of opinions as to how to solve this problem. Number one, there's no problem. If you're Sephardi, Shliach Tzibur says Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, you say nothing, right? If you're Ashkenazi, Shliach Tzibur says Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, you say Amen. But if you want to be extra frum, saying that's you're a Shulchan Aruch Jew if you do that. There are worse things to be in life than a Shulchan Aruch Jew, right? So that's if you want to be just a regular perfect Jew. But if you want to be better than that, because we're better than that, so you then come up with a shtick, an eitzah that the Magen Avraham gives, which is to answer Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael together with the Shliach Tzibur, or like the Levush Yisrael's version of the Magen Avraham is to answer Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael and then say quickly Hashem Sosai Tiftach right away while the Shliach Tzibur is saying Gal Yisrael, so you don't have to answer Amen there. And that you'll be Yotze both according to the Mechaber and the Ramah, because you avoided the Shaila entirely. That's if you want to be extra from. What does no one say? What does no one say? Don't say it out loud. No one says that. So again, I gave you a little quote from the Piskei Tshuvas here. Whatever. You can read what it says. He says, he gives a possibility. You're disgracing the bracha. Baruch Tehu Gal Yisrael. It's a disgrace to the bracha. Why are you whispering it? Why are you not saying it out loud the way Jews did for generations and generations? There have been a number of articles written on this topic in the last 50 years. There are very few people who come out in favor of saying Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael quietly. But the point I'm trying to make is, I didn't know. I've seen this in, you go to Vasikin at the Kotel, they do this. Like, it's not Jews who are not like medaktik in mitzvos or don't care about things. But, lemaisa, in the end of the day, I actually saw an article very recently by a great posek in B'nai Brak, Rav Saraya Deblitsky. He's one of the lesser-known gedolim of B'nai Brak, but he's as big as anybody. And he was saying that he's been davening at Vasikin Minyanim in Eretz Yisrael, for many, many years, for more than 50 years. And he says, even though you'll find it everywhere, he says, it's a brand new invention. He says, not something you will find that going back, he said, the people who are in the know never did this. So he says, you'll find it all over the place. It's just, he also says that if you're going to do it, don't say Baruch Ato Hashem, like that. He says, say the whole bracha quietly. He says, first thing he says is don't do it. Second thing he says is, if you're going to do it, say the whole bracha out loud, or say the whole bracha quietly. Because to say Baruch Atah Hashem and then say nothing, he says that smacks of at least looking like a bracha levatola. It looks like you're being motzi shem shemayim levatola. And he brings a raya from Gemara and Sukkah, whatever, I'm not going to get into it now. But bottom line is, if you... If you have the opportunity to mention to somebody, what's the more correct way to do it? So it's more correct to say Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael out loud and follow one of the actual pieces of advice that the post can give. I think Rosh Shlomo Zalman they have this very nice sefer Halicho Shlomo. You ever seen it? Very nice sefer that his kids put out based on there. There's three volumes. There are three volumes now. Very nice, very excellent sefer. And so in the one on Tefillah, so he writes. He just like. It's not a very brilliant chiddush that they came up with to try to say Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael. Like, it's not like any of the tens of poskim who wrote about this pre-1980, couldn't have thought of this. It's not so hard to think of that the Shulchan Aruch couldn't have thought of it, the Mishnah Berurah couldn't have thought of it, the Magen Avraham. All the poskim giving different advice, they dafka didn't give this advice. So to come up with this as the new chap, sometimes there's a new chap and it's just like so brilliant, so... You could say maybe the earlier post didn't want to say it, they never thought of it, whatever. You could debate that. But he says this is not so debatable. This new chap is not so debatable at all. It's really something very simple to think of, and therefore he doesn't advise doing it because he thinks it's not, there's a reason the postkim didn't give this advice. Anyway, all right, so this is these are a couple of Inyani Tefillah. Maybe next time or two times we'll finish off the list. Right, have a great day.